We are live. So this is the first episode of Kevin Convos. Kev and Convos, not Kevin Convos. And this is a show that I've been meaning to make for quite some time now, just to talk about the different projects in real estate investing that we've been working on, just like life in general, things that we'd love to share with people. And I have a special guest, Ty, good friend of mine.
Hey, how we doing, everyone?
We're doing good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, like I said, Ty is a good friend of mine, a business partner of mine as well, a student of mine. I like to call you a student because, I've been teaching you a few things here and there, but you've also been teaching me a lot of things here and there. So maybe we're both teachers to each other in some
Yeah,
ways.
in some sense.
But I just wanted to have you on the show, the first episode, and why don't we just talk about the things that we've been working on?
Yeah, for sure. So I can give everyone a little backstory about me. Name's Ty. Started in real estate. I bought my first property in 2023 in July. Then December, I purchased my second property, currently converting that into a duplex. I never really knew too much about real estate going before this. You see people who own multiple buildings and you just thought that they're just rich people, and I didn't think it was something attainable for me. After talking to Kevin, seeing how he was able to do it, piqued my interest, and he kind of got me started along that path, and here I am.
I mean, that's how it was for me too. I didn't really know too much about it as well. And then basically what happened was I had somebody introduce it to me. So it's like a virus that just keeps getting passed on from one
Yeah.
person to another. And like I always joke around and say like as much as I've been showing you things, you've been showing me things as well. And a good example of that would be about the materials, about just things in general, like just detailed things about the contracting work in
Yeah,
general.
for sure.
I think that we've made a good team so far, and it's the obviously the project is still young, and this is one of many, but I've been able to learn a lot about myself and about how to work with other people. And
Same, big time. Yeah.
so I before getting into this next project that we're currently working on right now, I like how you like talk like you were referring to me as like you. Like we're talking to each other and you're calling me Kevin. It's like as if this is some sort of like TV interview. I want to make it just make it very as casual as possible,
Yeah,
of
for
course,
sure.
and just enjoy ourselves. I know it's the first one, so it's a
Yeah.
little bit like it's a little bit
It's
shaky and
all
stuff
good.
like
Yeah,
that.
no. Yeah. Well, that's what I usually do. I usually like when I talk to you, I'm not like, yo, I'm just talking to you, Kevin. I address you by your name. So, but yeah, for it's when it comes to stuff in real estate, I appreciate everything you've done for me. It's like, our project's moving along really nice. Like, that's not every day someone gives you the opportunity to start real estate and like work with your mentor, So some people, they have people who are mentors and they should never end up working with them, maybe later on down the line. But I appreciate the opportunity to one be on the show and just work on a project with you, man.
Let's talk about that project. So we got that property, put in an offer for that property in November. It seems such a long time ago, but
Yeah, I know.
so in November, and then we closed on it just right before Christmas. And I remember distinctively before all of this, you said that you would not buy a property until you got married.
Yeah, that was the plan. So I was getting married, and I'm getting married in October of 2024. And even when learning about these properties and stuff and doing stuff, I never had the intention of buying until after I got married. But sometimes good opportunities arise, and you have to take that opportunity. Of course, I talked it over with the fiance, and she was on board. She was okay with making that decision, and we still had some reserves left over. So the first property was we were capable of doing that, no problem. The second one, for sure, things got a little bit tighter, but we were able to make that work as well. So we were able to get two before we even got married. So it's yeah, it's been a ride. just have to take advantage of the opportunities out in front of you, and when they present themselves, be ready so you don't have to get ready, you know.
Yeah, that's a good way to phrase that. But what kind of changed your mind though? Because at the beginning, I mean, you have a huge budget for a wedding, right? And you have obviously other commitments as well, like living expense, things like that. But then what kind of changed your mind about let's try and get in and do as much as we can before we get married? Because there is a possibility that I wouldn't say you're gonna be short on funds, but there is a possibility of that fear of getting closer and closer and being like, okay, well, it's not going to look as nice as I originally thought, where I had all this excess funds, because a lot of your excess funds now are going towards this property.
Yeah, so I think that at the beginning, you have an amount allocated towards your wedding funds or whatever it is. So whatever else you had, you're like, okay, hey, I kind of have a little, like, for lack of better terms, play money. So the good opportunity there was, hey, we're in a good situation right now. If we can afford to do it, then let's do it. I know interest rates are kind of climbing, but property prices are coming down, so this is a good time to buy while the prices are low. Because I remember when we were first looking, it was in the midst of COVID when the bubble was happening and places were going 100, 200 over asking. So when we went to go put in some offers and stuff, we were getting outbidded, and it was a tough situation. And then I remember talking to you, and you were mentioning about buying farther out, and the price is a bit more reasonable. So I did a bit of research out there, figured that it's doable, and if we have someone there, we have the infrastructure and team built out there, we would be okay, and we would be building equity, and maybe in the future, we could pull the equity out and put down on our primary residence, maybe closer to home. So that was the train of thought with the first one. We're like, okay, hey, we can at least build some equity. We kind of park our money there. We have someone renting it out. We're positively cash flowing, which is really nice, And then after that one, we kind of sat down. We're like, hey, listen, like we're, you know, we spent a good portion of our play money. So, we still have our reserves, but let's not get too ambitious. Let's kind of see what happens. If nothing happens, then we're gonna just lay low until after the wedding. Then we can reevaluate and go forward. But the opportunity for our second property came up, and it was a good opportunity. Like it was too good to turn down. For sure, it was a little bit of debating with the fiance, but at the end of the day, she realized that it was a good opportunity, and we should take it. We'd still be okay, reserve wise. So it was we made that decision, and we pulled the trigger to get number two.
I mean, that's a pretty detailed response. But I would say, a lot of us get slammed, I guess, from like the outside of your fiance, like outside, like
Oh,
the
family,
family,
yeah.
right?
Oh, big
We
time.
get slammed for buying far, right? And we get slammed for buying, just being in real estate investing in general, because there's a lot of risk and that kind of thing. But at any point, have you like felt that sort of negative energy from people when you tell them, like they congratulate you for the property you buy,
For sure.
and then they realize where it is, and it's like, hey, they kind of like almost like
Yeah, they're like,
take
oh,
back,
really?
they want a refund on that compliment, right?
Yeah, for sure. I've had family members be, I think it's concern, because they're just like, oh, what if this breaks? What if that breaks? What if they don't pay? What if they don't do this? And like my response was, like, oh, what if your furnace breaks? I'm like, well, what if your furnace breaks here? Are you gonna go and fix it? I don't. If you're not an HVAC person, what are you gonna do? You're gonna call someone to go out there, to fix to go up there to fix it for you. So that's the same thing I would do. And Yeah, for all the small things, you know, you have to have that good team, good infrastructure build. If you don't have that infrastructure, you don't have your handyman, your contractor, your plumbers, you know, general contractors, roofers, all these kind of guys set up. So that way, when things go wrong, not if, when things go wrong, then you'll be in an okay situation. You know who to contact and who to spring into action, and they'll be able to help you out. So I had all my bases covered, and I felt a little nervous for sure. It's you know, like am I making the right decision? But looking back now, I think it was a good decision. And you know, knock on wood, you know, we haven't had anything catastrophic happen as of yet. So, you know, things are running its course, and yeah.
I mean, you say nothing catastrophic has happened. I mean, there's been minor instances, small bumps and bruises along the way.
For sure.
And I think that to go 82 and 0, like in real estate investing, is like really.
Yeah, there were it'd be nice if we were all the Golden State Warriors, but you know, it happens, you know. Some things, you know, like you try and reduce those risks as much as possible. You know, you try and buy in good areas, you know, try and avoid the D-list areas, try and find good tenants, you know, especially if you're far away. You know, maybe you have someone who does a tenant screening for you. And if you really want to be almost completely hands off, you know, you hire a property manager,
Yeah.
and those guys will be able to assist you to the best of their abilities.
And even the Golden State Warriors didn't go 82 and 0. So,
Exactly, right?
yeah. I mean, that's the thing, right? I think a lot of people in general, it's not anyone's fault, of course. Like, people are just afraid, like, in general. Like, the people, I think when they don't understand something, and it's understandable, if you don't know something well, you're going to have, like, a lot of fear, right?
Yeah, for sure. That, and it's also a lot of money, right? It's like, you know, for you to be putting down 20% of a property that you're not living in, and that you're just going to trust to someone else to live in and take care of as well
True,
as you have. You
true.
know, a lot of people are like, hey, listen, that's crazy. You know, even people who buy primary residences, they're like, I have to put down, you know, if they have to put down 20% of, you know, $700,000 house,
Yeah.
$140,000, right?
Yeah.
That's not small change. That's not small money, right?
Yeah.
You know, for at least for me, it's not small money, right? You
Yeah.
know, it's you know, people work their whole life trying to save up all that money for one moment for it to be all gone, you know? So it's
Speaking of the down payment, I'll never forget this. On the drive home, there was a little bit of like, let me put it in context. When I was driving home with you, when you went to put in the offer for your first property, and also viewed it, of course, on the drive home, you felt very shaky, and I could tell, like, from our conversation, your tone, you were like, "This is a lot of money. This is a lot of money. I'm not really like I have you're having second thoughts a little bit."
Yeah.
And I could sense that it was very uneasy for you, because the way you were saying it sounded like you weren't very happy. And one of the things that I had kind of mentioned to you, and it's kind of true, is that as prices go up over the years, which, like, we're not like fortune tellers, but we kind of historically look in the past
Yeah.
and we can see the prices have gone up so much, and we could only anticipate that to continue to happen.
For sure.
That means that down payment would have been the lowest down payment you'd ever put down, in your history or in
Yeah.
your career of investing, most likely, right? If you had to put down, like, with all things being constant and all things being equal, if you put 20% down and then the prices just keep climbing up, 20% of a higher price is going to be a bigger down payment.
For sure, absolutely.
And I kind of reminded you that, yeah, prices, like, that opportunity cost of not getting in is a cost or a lost opportunity as well, because you would probably be just saving and you'd probably not get into that property
Yeah.
and you'd probably be waiting for your next opportunity at some point later down the line. And that's why I was kind of like very I was very proud of you, actually, because I know that you had, like, a lot of financial constrained, because you were like, "Okay, I have to budget all of this towards my wedding, and these are untouchable dollars." So to be able to kind of, like, understand and think it through kind of carefully and see what worked and what didn't, that to me made me really proud of you, because a lot of people will just be like, "No, like, no means no, like, don't, like, you
Yeah.
know what I mean? Don't touch that button, like that."
Yeah, for sure.
But for you, you really thought things through very carefully. You really put things in consideration. And obviously, I didn't, I wouldn't say I influenced you, but I think I gave you the right information to help you come up with that conclusion. And you ultimately made the decision on your own. So that's
Yeah,
something
for sure, right?
important.
Well, it's again, it's like, if you don't have the information to make the right to make the an educated decision, it's like I think that's where a lot of people go wrong. They don't do they don't do their due diligence. They don't, they just kind of just knee jerk reaction and just buy and then hope for the best, But like, for me, I like to sit down, get into the nitty gritty, do as much research as possible, spend sleepless nights searching, trying to get as much information as possible. So that way, when it came to the decision to buy, it was like, hey, I tried running the numbers every which way in my mind, and some it would work out majority of the time. So, and if it didn't work out, it was a number that I was comfortable with. Okay, hey, you don't get it rented out for 6 months, a year. I have okay. Like, are you going to be okay with that? Do you have enough reserve funds to take care of that? Yes. Okay. So you're not worried if it doesn't get rented out, So I had the majority of my bases covered, and I just needed that that reassurance, right? Because even if I go back before this, before I bought my property when we went up. I was out in Windsor, right? And I went out to go look at properties, and that was nuts. Again, places in Windsor was is blowing up, so it was going place were going 100, 150 over asking, and I went to go see the side by side duplex, and it was great, and it needed a little bit of work, but there was no conditions, no nothing, and they were saying, yeah, they're like the person we put an offer, I think we put an offer. I think 60,000 over asking, and the person came back to us and was like, "You need to come with more money than that if you want to get this property, right?" And looking back, it was kind of like a, damn, I know I could have put a little bit more down, and I possibly could have gotten it, but you know what? You live and you learn, and the second opportunity that I had, I was like, "Hey, you know what? Like the atmosphere, the environment was a little bit better. I was able to get conditions. I was able to get it below asking. So a lot of things lined up there. So it was good for me to be able to be like, okay, hey, like if there is anything wrong and I am still having second thoughts, there are ways for me to kind of get out of it. But, after doing the home inspection, make sure finances is good, make sure the lady's good, make sure my
Yeah,
numbers are good,
that's
everything.
important. The lady has to be good.
Yeah,
Remember that.
right. So as long as once everything was clear, I was like, okay, hey, you know what? Like, this is the start of something big. You can say you're starting to build your empire, right? So it's so we made that decision, and it's been going. It's been doing well. Has for sure there's been some hiccups, but overall, I'm enjoying the journey.
Let's talk about those hiccups actually, because I think everyone talks about, we've talked about some happy moments and all these funny things or great things that have been going on, but like let's talk about some of those hiccups. So one of the things that we've been going through that is, I guess a new challenge would be entering a new market, right? So we were very familiar. We both bought in Sudbury, and we were both familiar with the contractors, the rents, just like even the streets and how geographically things are laid out. And then now we've moved on to Chatham, and it's like we're unfam like we're like kind of like new again. We're like white belts per se again, right? And we're like, okay, well, we have some experience from where we used to invest. And then now we're going to this new market, and we're like, okay, well, we're trying to do the same thing, except we don't have the infrastructure, so we have to rebuild that infrastructure. Let's talk about those challenges.
For sure.
Let's talk about that. So let's start off with our team. So basically, our finding the contractor. So how did we come about doing that?
So trying to find contractors was It was interesting, you know. We reached out to some familiar investors or bigger investors out there, and reached out to them, see who were they were using. Reached out to some Facebook groups, you know. Reached out to some people who we knew who were investing out there, and they gave us some recommendations. You know, you had random people who do jobs on the side to, you know, fully licensed contractors, you know, whole full teams. And yeah, so the contractors weren't bad, and then, you know, find the general contractor. Electricians were kind of tough, especially when we were telling them what we were trying to do. And you know, some people were just flat out refused to work, right? You know, we had people who were just like, you know, they just never got back to us. Some people were charging ridiculous prices. Some people, you know, it was just they said they'll talk to you and just never heard back from them. And so, yeah. And then what? Plumbers, very similar thing. So just getting the team situated was a bit of a challenge, you know, because again, we had the infrastructure built out in Sudbury, and now in Chatham, it's you're the pioneer. You're kind of, you know, like blazing the trail for people to follow along behind, you know.
And you know what? I'll be honest with you. That was like a little bit of a scary moment at the beginning where we had to like do all the digging and all that stuff. But what I'd realized was that it was through a lot of referrals and networking, as well as speaking to people. Like we don't like it's not like we didn't know anybody
Yeah, for sure.
that invested there. Like we knew like people that invested there, but we didn't know them super well, or like we just didn't we weren't as familiar with just the environment in general, right? And what I'd realized was that the saving grace, or like the thing that helped us the most, was actually reaching out to people in a network and then getting referrals. Maybe it wasn't through like a direct guy, but it was like through someone else, and then through another person that we were able to get more resources, especially through especially contract the contractor that we got. And he was a great guy. He's helped us out a lot, and
For
he's
sure, big time, man. Nothing bad I can say about him. You know, he's been in our corner, you know, since day one. You know,
more than I expected, to be honest with you, because I'm actually very surprised, because I think that relationship was built obviously off of a referral already. So it just goes back. I keep saying the word referral because I think referrals are so important. Like they say what a referral is like you're transferring like a level of trust to somebody else. 'Cause let's say you wouldn't refer somebody like to your job or like at your place of employment if you didn't trust them, right?
For sure.
So
Absolutely.
there's a level of trust already, and then you're kind of like you kind of you're okay and comfortable to refer, because you don't know, like these people don't know us that well either, just like we don't know them that well.
Exactly.
So they would be obviously worried that we might like kind of make them look bad in a way, like if especially if it's about like some people are like about pricing. People are always sensitive about pricing and stuff like
Yeah,
that.
for sure.
So in the event that we don't pay or something conflict arises, it makes them look bad. So it's totally understandable. So that was something that was a little bit of a challenge looking for those team members at the beginning. And we still are looking for more, like the people that are going to rent out the property for us. Maybe property management, some degree of it, maybe not 100% hands off, but a degree of it. We're still gonna go and look within our network or referral once again, somebody through somebody else. But that's something that I think that every investor has to go through, especially when they're going through a new place. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, no, I agree. What's the saying? Your network is your net worth. So, you know, like, you know, if you want to go far, or if you want to go fast, go by yourself. If you want to go far, you have to go with the team, right? So, go, you know, trying to do things by yourself, again, you can only get so far, right? So you have to lean and refer and rely on your team, right? You know, so you people that you meet, you know, when you go out to these places, you know, don't just be locked up in the house and not trying to talk to anyone. Go out, you know, go to the restaurants, go to the bar. If you train, if you do martial arts or anything, like we do jiu-jitsu, you know, like go to the gyms, meet people, like network, right? Go to restaurants and talk to people, kind of figure out what's going on. And then, you know, once you make these connections, you know, you never know who you meet. Oh, hey, this guy happens to be someone who wants to get into property management, you know? Oh, and then these things kind of like, you build these relationships, not necessarily looking for something, just being like a genuine, nice person, you know, and friends. And that's how you, you know, start to build out that network.
Honestly, Ty, we would be doing those, like, we would be doing those things anyways, right? Like, we would, if we go to a new place, we're going to go eat.
Yeah.
Like you're only human. You have to eat.
Yeah.
We're going to go get some exercise and train because we love to train and we love to, you know, as much as we love to see the different looks that are out there in terms of the technique and training level, like they want to see obviously new bodies to like fight as well. So that's another thing. So these are things we would normally do no matter what anyways.
Yeah.
So it's not like, I kind of wanted to clarify that because it sounded like, you kind of clarified it yourself by saying that it's not transactional, which is true, because nothing in life for us, especially going through this business, I realize is should be transactional.
Yeah.
I think that everything is based off a relationship. I'm always looking for new friends, just because I don't want to, you know, I think I don't want to be a lonely guy. I love laughing and smiling at people. So I'm always looking for new friends, and those people that mutually want the same thing, they're gonna just gravitate towards. It's like a Tinder match, you know, like if we both match in some way, we're gonna get along. But like I said, those are things we're gonna be doing anyways, and it just so happens that for me and you, I think we just like going out and meeting people.
For sure. That's part of the fun, right? It's like, you know, real estate, especially for this, right? It's like, especially when you invest far out or in different parts of your city or town, you know, you meet new people, right? Yeah. People from all different walks of life, right? And it's cool. You get to, you know, it's a good perspective on life, and you just, you know, you get to see, you know, you get to meet cool people, and so, you know, some people influence you for the rest of your life. Some people, you know, they can help you out. Other people, you know, it's just nice to keep in contact with. They're just genuine, good people, right? So, that's what I enjoy. I enjoy just going out, you know. If they have a gym in town, for sure, for sure. I'm always trying to go there and just meet new people, and it's cool to get different looks, and I enjoy that big time.
I have to make some sort of a confession though. When I bought these properties, like especially my first one, Lynn is my wife. Ty knows my wife, and I know his fiance. We have a good relationship outside of doing business and things like that. But Lynn and I, when we actually moved. I don't think that's very common. People that invest further away. I actually moved for temporarily because I was work from home, as well as I just kind of wanted a change in scenery. It was like COVID-ish. It was like kind of towards the tail end of COVID. But everything was still like you had to do vaccines, masks, and things like that. So long story short, we just kind of wanted a change in scenery a little bit. And we moved away. And in moving away, I really fell in love. And this is where my confession is. Really fell in love with being away from the city. And I actually loved like the place that we were living in. And I kind of made a home there, and I kind of couldn't see myself not coming back because I just got really attached to the community there and the people. Like it's like we talk about jujitsu and we talk about the gyms and the different places we train at, and I got really attached to the school that I was there because I was training a lot there. Like I would be going after work, you know, things like that, training there for like all evening, and then things like that, right? So I got really used to being there, and I could see myself living there like pretty much forever. And what happened was that over time I realized, like, okay, well, if I do that, yeah, that's fine, I can probably buy another place there and we can live there permanently. But then kind of like real life started kicking in. Like at that time Lynn she had like a business, like a food business that she had to be, you know, physically there to do. Yeah,
for sure.
And then eventually she got a full-time job that was like not like work from home. We kind of took a hiatus, you know, to go there because I was able to go there, and she took some time off that food business as well, so she didn't physically have to be there. But then when real life, like I said, kicked in again, when she had to go back, like we just couldn't couldn't start over again, especially for her, right? Like we're a family and stuff like that. And I mean, I have the flexibility to work from home, but not everybody does.
Exactly.
And then we realized like if we had to go back and live in Sudbury, we could, but it would just like we'd have to restart, which is not the most ideal. And then obviously, it was sad. Like I made a home there, like I said, made a lot of lifelong friends there. And I realized like what makes the real estate investing really fun for me is that I get to, be part of a community. They like be part of a community, but contribute to the community as well. And obviously, have memories with these with people that we meet. And it's more than just like the dollars and cents and, all the reasons why people invest in real estate, right?
Well, for sure, yeah. Building those friendships, like you said, you feel like you belong. You're part of a community, Like these smaller towns and stuff like that, they're very personable. People are very nice. People are very open. They just come up to you and talk to you, and everything is good, right? Whereas in I don't want to say in the GTA, but most of the time, people are very to themselves. They're very busy, hustle and bustle. You're in their way. People are very angry and negative. In the city, people just want to, outside and Chatham and Sudbury, people are just like, hey, oh, new face. I've never seen you. Oh, let's talk. Let's you know, I want to be your friend, and everything's cool, right? And yeah, once you implant yourself in that ecosystem of wherever this place is, wherever you decide to invest, you get a real good feel for how the city moves, breathes, lives, and and it's nice to feel that you can be part of this. Because funny enough, I had that very, very, very same feeling when I was out in Sudbury, right? After I bought my first property, I was working on the house and I'm sitting outside and the neighbors are coming up to me and talking to me. And I don't know if it was just the weather or whatever it was, but I had that feeling of like, man, I could for sure see myself living here. This would be really nice. It was like, neighbors are nice weather. Man, if it was like this every day, no brainer, no brainer. And I get that same feeling in Chatham as well.
Yeah,
I
me
know,
too.
the neighbors are very nice. People there are all very nice, and I just enjoy it.
Yeah, I agree. Like I think that people that are living outside the GTA a little bit, the neighbors, like they're really friendly. They really it's like almost like in the movies. You know how like everybody just happens to know everybody, and like the neighborhood is like there's there's different characters in the neighborhood kind of thing. It's kind of like that. When I say characters, I mean everyone has their own different personality, right? It's like a
For
TV
sure.
show almost. And basically what I'd realized was that in smaller towns, I think there's just less people, so there's that opportunity to get to know people more. And strangely enough, if you live there long enough, you will see people like that you recognize in different places in that city as well. And it's in Toronto or in the GTA specifically, I feel it's kind of lonely in some way, even though there's like a population of, well, let's just say like I drive, it says 2.5 million or 2.7 million in Toronto, and then the rest of the GTA, let's pretend it's like 8 million. That's what it's supposed to be, right? Like
I think so.
got a fact. We don't have somebody to fact
Yeah,
check
we don't
that
have
for
a
us.
Jamie, but it's okay.
But
We'll go with it.
like in a city where there's that many people, you would feel like it's probably supposed to be less lonely because you have more options of people to hang out with. And it's true and false, right? Because I feel like people are less warm. And you hit it like right on the spot. It's just the fact that in these smaller places, it's just people just are more close-knit together, right? And our neighbors are really nice. They've been very friendly to us, and we've been happy to, every time we see them, I think it's like I just get excited to see them.
Yeah, for sure, right? It's like we have one of our neighbors who like they're like, oh hey, like if you guys are up, just throw stuff in your trash bin and I'll take it to the curb and I'll bring it back up. Don't worry, like I'll do that for you guys. Most neighbors here, they at least where I am, they're not probably not gonna do that for me. You know, every time we're outside, they're always, you know, they'll come across the street, like, hey, how you doing? Spark up a little conversation, ask how everything's going with the house and stuff like that. And, you know, they give us a little bit about themselves, and, you know, it's cool, you know, for me. And then I know that, you know, I have some neighbors that they don't reach out unless you reach out, right? So it's like, you know, and sometimes when you do reach out, you feel like you're kind of bothering them, you know.
Oh, yeah. I
You
know
know,
that
it's
feeling.
yeah, they're just like, you know, they're busy with their own life. They don't have time to for whatever you consider small talk or just trying to get to know them. So, yeah, in these small communities, I really enjoy the interpersonal connections.
I mean, I don't want to bash GTA neighbors, but I just I mean, our neighbor here is a very sweet man. Him and his wife, very, very, very nice people. It's so sad though because it took me like 20 years to like know them by first name, and before that, it was just like hi and bye and just wave and just hello, good morning.
Well, to be fair, you were a lot younger, right? You're like a kid at that time, right? So it's like, you know, when you're young, maybe in high school, even elementary school, you're not going out trying to find out my neighbor's name, trying to, you know, what's their work day looking like and stuff like that, you
True.
know? So once you're older, you know, then that kind
You
of,
learn more, you learn better manners in
exactly.
summary, right? So I mean, outside the fact that you know we have cool neighbors and stuff outside the GTA, I think also the cost of living, right?
Very
Or
much so.
cost of housing
The cost of
specifically.
housing for sure. It's a big difference, right? Like what we could af what I like what we could afford, at least I could afford out there. You know, I was able to get a detached house, you know, 4 bed, 2 bath. You know, if I tried to do that here, I'd be hitting, you know, almost $1 million. And out there I got it for less than half, you know, even less than that, right? So you know, you can your dollar goes a bit farther. You know, you're well, you, yeah, you get more bang for your buck the sometimes the farther you go out, and you know, it's not just you just go anywhere far out and you can, you know, you're gonna your dollars can go farther. You know, like it can, but you have to do your due diligence, do your research on the area, on the market, on where you're trying to invest, right? You know, Sudbury has a lot going for it. You know, has a like that's like the main it's like the main hub. Like for up north, you know, if any major hospital things, they all somehow end up going to Sudbury, right? They have a university, they have two colleges, you know, so they have a lot going on, and Sudbury is still developing too, so
Yeah, and they got immigration programs up in Sudbury, right? I think I mean, just in general, like I saw firsthand, I saw a lot of people that are there, you know, to get their permanent residency, and they're there to study, you know, at college, university, whatever it may be, to be able to get that work permit to stay and then study and then, sorry. Not stay to study, stay to work, sorry, stay to work, and then eventually be able to get their, you know, their permanent residency. And that's something I think often we don't think about just because we don't, we're not in that position. Like we already, you know, either born here or we have citizenship or whatever. But a lot of people do want to come to Canada, and a lot of people view Canada as a very safe place, as a place where there's a lot of opportunity for their children, things like
Yeah,
that.
for sure. Well, and that's the thing, right? So, I think that's why these programs are really good, right? 'Cause a lot of people they try and come to the GTA, they come to Toronto thinking that they're gonna land here, get their PR, and then life's good, you know. But then there's places like in Sudbury or up north, you know, they have what is it the
Well, a PNP,
yeah
provincial nomination
PNP, yeah,
program.
right? You know,
There's other ones too, I think. I'm not very familiar with all of them, but I know that if you study and you basically have a work permit, and then after that you like you have to obviously work a job, maybe related to your field or something like that, or something related to a field that in Canada like they need because there's a lack of maybe employment. Employment, people willing to work that job. It's just to help stimulate the economy, right? And if you fit like the program or you, like whatever their needs and criteria are, you're going to be a candidate that's eligible to stay. And they have them in a lot of places. It's not just in, the north. When I worked in actually a field, I started a business a long time ago that was specifically for international students from Vietnam, basically looking for accommodation services, housing for them, and as well as hooking them up with maybe a host, like somebody that would, like, technically like a landlord that would rent out rooms. And what I had found was that a lot of these students, my old clients, they all studied in the GTA somewhere, either in high school or college or university. But then eventually, when they graduated, because it was kind of difficult to get their permanent residency here, either because of due to competition or whatever, like the government laws are, they just, they move different places. So I've seen people move out east to the Maritimes. I've seen people move out to Saskatchewan, Manitoba, all up north too, to, like, I don't know, Sudbury, Timmins, like North Bay, those areas. And eventually they're able to get their permanent residency and then sponsor their families one day. Like, it's for the future. It's an investment for the future for both parties.
For sure. Well, because that's the thing, right? Like, they go up north, Maritimes, wherever, and I think it's a little bit easier out there, for you to get your papers and stuff like that. I think, don't quote me, I don't know, but it could take, it takes a lot less time, 2, 3, maybe 4 years. Whereas in the GTA, I know people who've been here for 15 years and still nothing, right? So, it's a good option, right? And I think that, the cat, not the catch, but like the hook there would be like, hey, look, like, you move out there and maybe you start to build roots out there and you stay out there. Like you said, you stimulate their economy, right? Now you're bringing jobs and other things to wherever you're moving to, up north, Maritimes, wherever. So it's a good program, especially for those who are, looking to get their papers and, looking for a place to live. Again, it's cheaper out there, and there's still job opportunities. You're like, it's not like you go out there and it's a wasteland, right? It's like there's growing economies out there, right? So yeah, there's good opportunities just outside the GTA, but I think that a lot of people just only know the GTA.
Or they only want to know the GTA.
Yeah, exactly, right? So they're like, oh, there's a lot of people here. A lot of people mean a lot of jobs. So then
A lot of
they're like,
competition
oh,
too.
exactly. So,
It's win-win, right? Because the government gets, their what they want, which is to help stimulate and grow different communities. And then the people that stay, they get what they want too, which is their permanent residency,
Yeah,
right? So
absolutely.
it's a win-win. And living in Sudbury for that time, I saw a lot of people in those situations, and even some of my tenants are those people. And I think they're very nice people. They've some of them have had great professional jobs back home. It's interesting because being in this in the field of I wasn't in the immigration field, but a lot of my students, they ended up requiring immigration services. So I ended up being really good friends with an immigration lawyer, and basically he would always tell me things and give me the scoop and the updates and things like that. I think it's like, I don't know of anybody like that. I'm not an immigration professional, and I don't want to claim to be one, and I don't want to say things like that are incorrect. But I mean, if this were true and somebody was staying in the GTA for 15 years and they didn't have their papers, I mean, I don't know if that's even allowed, but if that is allowed, then that would be very stressful for them because they have no guarantee of like stability, right? And I think that having stability, like people, I think we live in a really good time, like right now, like we have a lot of basic needs and necessities taken care of.
Yeah, for sure.
So we don't value stability that much, right? Like we don't think of it like something very important because it's just, what do you mean? It's like you already have citizenship, right? You already have shelter. So it's like you don't really think about that. But then there's people that really need those things. And on like the bottom, or yeah, like think at the bottom base of the totem pole of Maslow hierarchy of needs, shelter, food, like basic things. Like if you don't have those things, you're not going to be able to upgrade to the next level, which is like, you know, which is I don't know exactly what it is, but it ends up being like self-actualization at the end. Well, you make meaning out of your life and personal enjoyment and finding your own identity. Like if you don't have even the basics, which is stability, right?
Yeah.
So that comes in form of citizenship, shelter, food, those kinds of things. Forget about like what's up higher in the Maslow hierarchy of needs, which is self-actualization. So I think that we should be really grateful that we have what we have. And
Oh, absolutely. For sure. You always have to be thankful for, for the situation that you're in. And, both of our parents are immigrants, for like the sacrifices that they made, for sure it wasn't easy coming over here. They can't they left everything that they knew, to come here for a better life. And, they put us in a good position. So, forever
Set us
thankful
up
for
with
that.
alley-oops, so to
Exactly.
speak, right? But you know what? I kind of wanted to touch a little bit about that because I met your family for the first time, moving a fridge. In very funny circumstance, because obviously it would have been better if I met them at your engagement party or at your wedding or something more like, more cozier setting. But it was funny. We were moving a fridge, and I met your family. Very, very sweet parents, by the way. Your parents are very nice and very warm, and we had a good laugh moving things up and down. But I, like my family, you've met my family as
Yeah,
well.
for sure.
We're more similar than we are different. I think like we our parents, they really want the best for us,
Absolutely.
and their why is obviously to give us the life that they could never really imagine or dreamed of or something like that, right? And as I get older now, into my early 30s, and eventually I'll be even older than that, right? I want to kind of give them the life that I dream in my mind,
Yeah, for
right?
sure.
And I think that to be able to do that, you need to take on some sort of level of risk. And they are so anti-risk. Like every time I bring up like, hey, I'm gonna get another property, or I'm thinking about getting a property, it's like, oh, like this is risky, or like there's some fear. I can see in their pupil. It's like a little bit of fear. But then my parents came on a boat like to come to Canada. I'm like, you were like risking your life. That isn't that more risky than doing that?
Yeah, well, you gotta think, right? They went through all that to make sure that, hey, you know what, like get into the like more, like you think of the standard parent thing, oh, get a good job, go to school, get good grades, get a good job, and just live like a certain, like, I don't say an average life, but just live like an average life, a safe, secure route, and there's no risk, no nothing involved. But when you start to deviate from that, they're like, listen, man, I put my life on the line. I don't want you to, end up on the streets. You're gonna blow all your money, and what if this doesn't work out, And that, so it causes them stress because they're just like, man, like to them, I think it's, hey, like I don't want all the stuff that I went through to get you here to be put in vain, just for them to for things not to work out. But yeah, again, like I said, there's like what they did to get here involved risk, right? You gave the again, you gave up everything you had. You left like the comfort of your own home, know of everything that to start fresh, start with scratch. That's like how we start a new market. They're starting from scratch. They don't have whatever money they have in their pocket. That's it until they can get themselves up on their feet, and get a job and start building for themselves. So it's yeah, there's risk in both of it, but I think that sometimes they just get a little nervous that the decision that we're making is a hasty decision, that you're just kind of rushing into things and you haven't done your due diligence and it's not something that they would do, so you shouldn't do it,
I mean, I personally like my parents. They lack that experience like for like investing in real estate because they are not investors themselves. So it's kind of like what we talked about at the very beginning, where we were like, well, if you don't know something, it makes you really nervous, right? Until you kind of fill up those voids or those gaps of information, then you start feeling comfortable, right? I think that everyone lives their life to the beat of their own drum.
Absolutely.
Everyone has different goals and different dreams. Not everyone's dream is to do real estate investing or be an entrepreneur or like, do the different route, so to speak, right? And that's okay. I think that what I've learned over time is to respect everybody's sort of path. Like
Oh, absolutely.
that's something that was for me a little bit difficult, I guess, when I first started like my entrepreneurial path, because I felt like A, I'm the only one doing this sort of like journey, right? Like especially when I first started my business with the international student business, finding them accommodations. And so that like I didn't have anybody to sort of kind of lean back on or like find like a mentor per se. In real estate investing, I find it a lot easier because I wouldn't, okay, I'm taking that back. It's not easy. I find it easier to find a network of people to speak to, right? So if I have any issues or any concerns, I'm going to be able to find someone somewhere that can somewhat I can somewhat relate to. But when I was starting out doing my previous business, I had like literally nobody to talk to, and that made me feel very alone and feel very like afraid, and it feel kind of like it was like me against the world kind of thing. So in short, like basically, I think that there's more resources for real estate investing. And I think that because of that, the risk, somewhat of the knowledge, like risk of not knowing stuff is mitigated a lot. I think it's just up to you to be able to go and find out that information, right? And it's up to you to kind of like persevere through that. And maybe like, there's a there, there's enough there's books, there's videos, there's social media now,
I mean,
right?
the internet is huge, right? And so if you have any if you have any questions or anything like that, something you're going through, I can almost guarantee you that there's someone out there that has posted about it online, that's going through the very similar, if not the exact same thing that you're going through. And you can find a little information or tidbits on how they got through it, and maybe it can help you. Again, everyone's story and everyone's situation is a little different, but there are resources out there. Whether you, again, online, social media, networking events, you go out to these
Oh,
events.
those are very underrated, by the way. I think those are super underrated because honestly, we've been able to excel a little bit more than we've had just because we went to a lot of networking events to, learn more and obviously share with other people as well. But those have been a strong pillar of like kind of helping us achieve the little wins that we've been able to achieve because people will either kind of like, I wouldn't say laugh at you, but they'll be like, that's not how you would do that. And then you're like, oh, okay, that's pretty interesting that you wouldn't do it this way. Like you wouldn't like, let's say screen tenants this way, or you wouldn't your budget. Remember for us, your budget, oh my goodness, how could your budget be that much? And then it makes you second guess. It's like, are they something wrong with the way they're thinking or something wrong with the way we're thinking? It's probably something wrong with the way we're thinking.
Especially because it's good because, again, with these networking events, you get to meet people from all walks of life and with either a crazy bunch of experience, and it's good to be able to kind of pick their brain for 10, 15 minutes, and they can provide you some sort of value, and you just build those connections, and you can exchange information, and if you ever have questions and stuff like that, you can reach out to them. But it's good. You get to meet a lot of people, and it's opened my eyes for sure. Again, because I'm just starting out, right? So when I hear people talking about, when I tell them multifamily and I think fourplex, some people think that's nothing, right? You tell people, they're like, "Oh my God," they're like, "Oh, for me, small is 20, a 20 building, 20 unit apartment," and you're just like, to me, that right now, it's like, oh, that's crazy. I couldn't imagine that. I can't imagine spending, could imagine having owning a 20 unit a building, right? That's the goal eventually is to get there, but baby steps at the beginning, right? So so you get to talk to people like that, and then they've gone through, they were at one point where you were,
Yeah,
right?
absolutely.
So they can kind of provide some sort of help, guidance, and whatever it is to you, and you'd use that information how you like, right?
Yeah.
And the networking events have been really, really, really helpful for me, for sure.
Yeah, it's like going to school in some way. You're like learning from other people, like their experiences and stuff. So it's like you're not going through the experience, but you get a life, like a live case study for
Yeah,
it.
yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to jump back to, it's so funny because I was thinking about this. I'm like, I was talking about respecting other people's path, and I started talking about something else. But the like what I meant to say previously about all of that stuff was that when I was doing things on my own, I had to try and validate my own decision and try and confirm that I was right. So basically, I wouldn't say invalidate other people's path, but I would try and hype myself up because I was kind of alone in my own space doing that business with, like a long time ago. So I would always try and be like, well, I'm doing it this way, it has to be right. And then what other people are doing, it's not right. And then it was kind of like just very dumb self-talk because, like, I mean, it's not right to do something like that. It's
No, for
kind
sure.
of like a little bit of toxic way to think. But I think I was kind of young, and I was really inexperienced as an entrepreneur at that time. So being alone, not networking as much. I mean, looking back on it now, like maybe yes, nobody was in the same industry as me, but I could have met other people that were doing business too, that were going through their own struggles. Like everyone goes through the same sort of struggles, like maybe
Yeah.
managing your finances, managing a team, right? Things like that, looking for cheaper materials, whatever it may be. It doesn't matter what industry you're in, you're going to be doing some sort of thing related to, those aspects. And me just being a little bit more younger and not as mature in that in the field, in that field specifically, and in entrepreneurship at the time, I just felt like I wasn't respecting other people's path. And now I don't really think that way because everyone, like, who's to say that I'm doing the right thing, right?
Yeah.
Who's to say that I'm right? And like right now, even though even if I think I'm right, like other
Yep.
people will view me the same. They'll be like, oh, maybe. Like, oh, maybe this isn't the right path, right?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's like there's no one right way to do something, right? As long as you achieve the outcome that you wanted, you can do it 50 million different ways,
Yeah.
right? Similar to jiu-jitsu, right? There's no one way that's the only way to do it. There's variations for a reason, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's like you can't discredit what other people have done or how they've done things because their circumstances or their situations are different than
Yeah.
yours, right? Like my situation, when it came to buying to get into my properties were different than yours,
100%
right?
different. Yeah.
And it's like some people want to do things just exactly how someone else has done it. They kind of look online to be like, oh, how'd this person do it? I want to do it like that. But it's like some people bought, it's like there's people who bought houses when the housing market crashed and they just picked up a bunch, right? It's like, well, guess what? Unfortunately, housing market, it didn't really crash. It went down, but it's at different times, right? Oh, people buy a house for $100,000, $200,000, right? It's going to be tough to try and find properties like that that are in livable condition, right? So you can't really compare yourself to others. There's maybe some similarities. But yeah, each person's path is their own, right? And they're all unique to each person. So you just have to, you respect how other people do it. Maybe to
Yeah.
maybe you wouldn't do it that way, but again, you respect what they did and how they did it, and you kind of learn from it and keep going forward or keep moving from there, right?
Yeah, and that's kind of led me honestly to my own conclusions today, which is like honestly everyone has their own path. And maybe my parents or your parents or everyone's parents view risk differently. It's like just gotta respect other people's like thoughts and path. Like, and in doing so, we're able to kind of feel like there's no limitations. There's different ways of doing everything. And I the more I'm in real estate investing, I realized it's not about real estate investing actually. It's a people business, and it's about meeting people, it's about interacting, it's about making people happy as well, right? Tenants specifically. And I realized this is not about like it's like you know how McDonald's, Ray Kroc asked, "Hey, what business are we in?" And most people, when Ray Kroc is the one of the founders of McDonald's, he said, like, he asked everybody, what kind of business are we in?" Everyone always says
They're in the burger
they're in the
business.
burger
Yeah,
business, right?
exactly.
But really, they're in the real estate business. I think that when people talk about the real estate business, what kind of business are we in? We're in the people business.
Yeah.
We're always servicing people who are our tenants, but we're also meeting contractors, other people that help facilitate our business and make them happy too. We're in the business of serving everybody, right? And I realized that when I've broken it into that that spectrum or that category, it makes me feel like happy to think about it that way.
Yeah, for sure, right? You have to, like, yes, owning, like, purchasing properties are important, but it's not the end all be all, right? At the end of the day, it's like, if you, like, if you look at what you're doing in real estate, you, to a certain extent, you're trying to provide housing for people, right? You're trying to help other people, right? Some people might not look at it that way, but like, that's how I look at it. That but we're providing value, we're providing, places for people to stay,
Safe place for people to
it's safe,
stay.
exactly,
Clean place.
right, and it's like you try, like I try and like when I'm looking at places, at least for me, when I'm trying to buy places, I'm looking at places like, would I want to live here? Like when I'm walk, when I go and kind of check the area, like I'll walk up and down the streets, like would I feel safe with my like have my fiance walk up and down these streets by herself, or do I like how, like, what am I feeling? If I don't feel that, then it's like, I don't think, I wouldn't want someone to be in that situation as well. Like, I want to make sure that the tenant or whoever I'm putting into this place feels safe, has the same kind of mentality, and they're like, oh man, this is a nice area. I love to have raise my kid here and all this kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's how I look at it. I try and look at it for like, like, I put myself and also try and put the tenants first, and just, yeah, try and create some a place where, like, people feel safe, it's clean, it's it's an enjoyable living experience. I want to have that good connection with my tenants. I want to make sure that they're comfortable and they're doing well, and that's important to me, just making sure that whoever's in the house is also, enjoying their stay, and that they're treat that they feel that they're being treated well.
Well, I just wanted to thank you, Ty, for coming on to the first episode. I think it was a little bit shaky at the beginning because I kind of didn't give you the proper instruction.
That's all
Like,
good.
you didn't know if it was like a news anchor interview or like, casual conversation. That was my fault. I'll take responsibility where I need to, right? But I do appreciate you sharing your thoughts and experiences. And honestly, like, we have these conversations every day, also on the phone or in person. So I thought we'd just record it,
Yeah.
just. I think people could benefit from our experiences because we're starting out too. Like I'm new as well, like and Ty's new, and I think that over the years we won't be new one day,
Yeah,
right?
exactly.
So, thanks for coming on. We'll have you on another time. I think I'll have you on maybe in a few more months,
For sure.
So,
Whenever you put out the signal, and I'll be here. I appreciate it.
all right,
Appreciate
man.
it.
See you, Ty.
Take
Thank you.
care.
Bye, everybody.